Senate Bill 325, the clerk will read.
Senators Tillman, Brock, and Tucker, Senate Bill 325, a bill to be entitled an act to set hours for one-stop early voting and set required county board of elections to submit an annual report of voters of maintenance. Jim Center, North Carolina, next.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the bill on third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning, members. It seems like I've seen you all very recently, but it's good to see the smiling faces again this morning. Members, Senate Bill 325 is an act to make early voting across our state uniform so that the people can know where they're supposed to go to vote and when the polls are open. One of the things that we've heard as we've discussed this bill is we've had folks come up and they've said, you know, it is confusing when you've got polling site A that's open from 1 to 4 a couple days a week and polling site B open up another time. People show up to vote and it's the wrong time. So, and the voting site is closed. So what we set out with the intention to do is to be able to make it more reliable and dependable, that the voters would know that the early voting site or sites in their county was open from a set time in the morning to a set time in the evening for the 17-day period, or at least the weekdays during the 17-day period, so that boards of elections and, more importantly, the voters would know that beginning perhaps on the third Wednesday before an elections, that their county's early voting site or sites would be open from 7 in the morning until 7 in the evening. As we've said many hours of debate on this floor, we think it's important that polling sites be open to folks at a time and at a schedule that is convenient to them. So what this bill would do would provide for 17 full days of early voting. As we, the current system that we're operating under, it's really 16 and a half days. So again, this is more days or more whole days of early voting. What it would also do in the form of consistency is say that if you open an early voting site, that you open it, that you open all of them if you have more than one on a uniform timeline. In other words, if you have three or four sites in your county, my county has three, and you're going to open for early voting, then all three should be open at the same time and in the same hours. You shouldn't have one that's open one day with the other two or three closed. This would set our early voting period to end the Friday at 7 o'clock before the Tuesday election. Chose that time because in the many years that I've been involved with election issues, one of the consistent things that we've heard is that it is nice to be able to update the voter rolls and print the poll books and have everything ready to roll out for the Tuesday. So while not the intent of this bill, it is a benefit of this bill that it will give our local boards a little bit more time to get ready for the Tuesday of Election Day. Let's see. Just a few things that I'd like to talk about, and then I'll be glad to yield for questions. The first one being the last part of this bill, Section 4 on page 2. This is just a reporting requirement of the state board. So it's not a new requirement dealing with the voter rolls themselves. It's just a reporting requirement so that we can be informed as the policymakers charged with this area of policy of what the list maintenance efforts are and what they have been. I have received several questions from members about what the practical implications of this would be. One member this morning came up to me and he said that he'd gotten a letter from back home and his board of elections director had said, last year we had five sites. This year, if we have to keep all five sites open 12 hours a day, it's going to cost us X amount more. And I just want to be clear. This bill would not require them to do that. Hopefully they'll be able to do that. But I truly believe in that one case, it may be that having four sites that are open on a consistent schedule so that the Board of Elections can promote, hey, go to this site from 7A to 7P to let your voice be heard, I think it's a good thing. I think it will expand the opportunities to vote, and I think we'll see an increase. I know that you all know that over half of our population chooses to vote early anyway, and this will provide a uniform platform for them to do that. I do not believe in any way that this is an additional cost to the counties. I think the counties have time to adjust their schedule, but I will tell you that we've heard over and over again that the access to the polls and getting people out to vote is the most important thing to our election administrators, and I'm sure they can overcome any challenges that may come. With that, Mr. Speaker, I've tried to explain the bill as best I can. I'll be happy to yield to any questions.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise?
Question to the bill. Respond.
Does the gentleman from Harnett yield to the gentleman from Brunswick?
I do.
Yields.
Mr. Rules Chair, I'm trying to read the Saturday and Sunday provisions, line 28 through 35. Am I understanding that currently the local Board of Elections has the option for Sunday voting, and this bill gives them, maintains that option because it says if they still have the option locally for Sunday voting and apparently maybe Saturday voting. Am I correct on that?
Absolutely. You are correct, sir.
So we're not mandated. Follow up.
Gentleman that wish to ask an additional question?
So we're not
and
mandated.
And does the gentleman from Harnett yield?
I do, sir.
He yields.
So we're not mandating in this bill anything from here. It's their option.
That's correct, sir.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. Voting is a right, and a right that has been fought for throughout the history of our country. And the diversity of our state and the diversity of our communities within this state mandates that we take into consideration that all of our communities are not the same. And while this bill has a tidy title, uniform and expanded voting, we must recognize that all of our communities in the state of North Carolina are not uniform. For example, our smaller counties with smaller budgets need the flexibility to open satellite sites only part-time when they have recognized by the voting trends and patterns within their communities that the demand for these voting sites are crucial and cost-effective in the way that they operate these voting sites. It also is necessary that we take into account that rural residents and those with disabilities and those without transportation sometimes have to plan in a way that makes voting for them accessible and allows for them to take advantage of critical times. When these critical times have been met, then some of our smaller counties may run into budgetary conflicts with being open as long as this bill mandates. The bill was introduced in the middle of the night, and election officials that I have heard from were blindsided by this because they're in the midst now of planning their early voting hours. I heard the rules chair say that this bill allows for a time and schedule that is convenient. Well, the last Saturday of early voting has proven by evidence to be convenient by time and schedule, as we've had in 2014, 103,513 of our citizens to take advantage of the last Saturday, and in 2016, even more citizens, 193,138, took advantage of last Saturday voting. African-American voters, a population for whom the right to vote has been fought, has had the shedding of blood, and we know the history of African-Americans having to obtain and fight to maintain the right to vote. African-Americans disproportionately used the last Saturday to vote. In 2016, African-Americans made up 20.6% of voters, but 28.9% of voters who voted on the last Saturday. I would also caution this body to be reminded of what the Fourth Circuit Court recently said, that African-American voters were targeted with surgical precision. Those two words are very frightening and should be cautionary to all of us, with surgical precision, not by accident. This bill also requires uniform hours for all sites any day that they are open, including uniform hours, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for all 7 weekdays, with some exceptions. All early voting sites must be open all 17 days. This cumulative impact is a strain on election officials that could disincentivize weekend early voting access and opening more than one site in a county. And let me repeat again, weekend early voting has been preferred and has been preferred by certain populations and certain populations whose right to vote has not only been highlighted, but has been protected in recent court decisions. And finally, we've just recently seen what happened in the state of Ohio with the Supreme Court allowing for the purging of the voter rolls in that state. And while this bill includes a requirement that counties report maintenance activities, in my opinion, this is the first brick in the path that leads to purging of voters in the state of North Carolina also. Voters aren't always motivated to vote every election. I wish that they would. I'm sure that you wish that voters would vote every election, but they're not often motivated to vote every election. However, I will end with what I started. Voting is a right, not given by this body, but certainly that one that ought to be protected by this body for every citizen of this state whenever they decide to vote. I will be voting against this bill and ask you to do the same.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
May I ask the gentleman from Guilford a question?
Does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, yield to the gentleman from Harnett?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. In your remarks, you referenced a recent Fourth Circuit opinion. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your understanding of that opinion, if I could. You are aware, of course, that prior to that opinion being issued, there was over a 400-page finding of fact that the changes to the voter laws in our state were, in fact, constitutional and followed the law and the expanded the franchise, and the Fourth Circuit opinion that you referenced didn't dispute any of that fact. It simply simply stated that the General Assembly's intent was bad, so that made the law bad. Is that your understanding of the opinion?
Mr. Rules Chair, I understand that court said with surgical precision African-American voters were targeted. I also understand that the courts have also said that this body was illegally constituted. I also understand that whenever we talk about voting rights, that it raises alarms and it raises suspicions, And my remarks are, and my caution to this body is, that we ought to be very careful when we start talking about how we manipulate people's access to the polls. Those things I understand. Thank you.
May I ask the gentleman another question?
Does the gentleman yield to additional inquiry?
Yes, sir.
Yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. I'll concede what you're saying, that the judge with the pen wrote the inflammatory language. Also, I'll concede, although not relevant to this bill, the same judge is the one that commented on the makeup of this body. Would you agree with me that the ultimate arbiter of that dispute should have been the U.S. Supreme Court, which this case was going to be heard at until the Attorney General of this state and the governor of this state pulled back the defense of the people's right to be heard on this issue?
That, Mr. Rules Chair, is irrelevant to this bill. I am aware of what it is that you speak, but the fact that we don't like what the judge said or who the judge was that said it does not change the fact of what the judge said and what they found, and the fact that voting rights having been so hard fought for everyone in this country, but particularly for certain populations and recently for certain populations, when a judge, no matter whom he or she is, looks at the facts and comes to the conclusion that with surgical precision, African-American voters have been targeted, and looks at the facts and says that the body that we stand in now was illegally constituted, that ought to raise cautions for us when we start talking about voting rights. Would you concede that those opinions also, Mr. Rules Chair, demand that we be cautious about the steps that we take when it comes to voting rights?
May I ask the gentleman another question?
Does the gentleman yield to an additional question?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. Let me preface my remarks because I deeply respect what you said. I am fully aware, and I would encourage you, in fact, I'll be happy to provide you with the transcripts. They're not that hard to find. I know that there are certain populations among which are yours that have fought and have in the past been denied the right to vote and have had to face terrible atrocities. And I acknowledge that, and it's with the utmost respect and sensitivity that I try to talk about these issues, because if we do not talk about them, then we will never move forward. But with that said, just to be clear, I did hear your remarks, your response correctly, that the opinion about the General Assembly's intent was not ultimately arbitrated by the U.S. Supreme Court, and then you said that that would make it not relevant to what we're talking about today. Would you agree that in that inflammatory rhetoric, like surgical precision, is not necessarily able to fit a bill that says you will have more days of early voting and a uniform access for all people to get to them? Would you agree with that?
Mr. Rules Chair, you deem that term to be inflammatory. I deem the term to be cautionary.
Thank you. Could I ask just one more?
Does the gentleman from Guilford yield to an additional question?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. This is a different question on the technical part of your remarks of the bill. You referenced the last Saturday as being a big day. Would it also be fair to say that that is the second Saturday and there is still a second Saturday provided in this bill?
While that is the case, yes, there is. Potentially, there is a second Saturday. It's not mandated. Potentially, there is a second Saturday.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
I find it curious. Here we are 4 months before we start early voting, and we're trying to change the game. Tradition matters. Localities have an interest in setting the most convenient dates and times of early voting. What this bill is not what it says it is. Uniformity, or is it state long arm reaching out and dictating how every community will implement their early voting? What this bill really is voter suppression disguised. As Representative Quick pointed out, the elimination of the last Saturday,
Mr. Speaker,
matters.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
The member is ascribing intentions, which is something we shouldn't be doing. There's been no voter suppression by anybody in this chamber.
The gentleman has risen to a point of order. The chair would simply ask the, and this is probably good for all debates, just in the context of voters, in the context of debate, to not try to ascribe an intent to other members on either side of the aisle. So the lady has the floor to continue debating them.
The facts do show what the impact is. As Representative Quick said, the last Saturday matters. The second most heavily voted of early voting time across the state. 103,000 voters in 2014 voted on the last Saturday. And why? Tradition? But also, it's at the end of the campaign. The next to last Saturday, many issues come up among candidates, among debates. People know that last Saturday is probably the most important one, closest to the election day, to have all the appropriate information to make a wise reason vote. And Saturdays, as we all know, are the days most people, many cannot, but can get off to vote. Taking away that last Saturday, which is shown by fact, will impact disproportionately African Americans more than any other group of our citizens. The second part of this bill that requires any one voting site that is open across a county, all voting sites must be open in a similar manner. No longer do your local Board of Educations have any possibility of flexibility. And what does the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 12-hour site openings require? It will put a strain on local boards. It will disincentivize weekend early voting access and opening more than one early voting sites in a county. None of the 100 county board of election or county commissioners had been consulted about this bill. In the past, more than 55 counties took advantage of our current law allowing flexibility for voting hours. But now, with this bill, the strong arm of the state will stop that. Last night, there was a letter from the chairman of the State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement writing to the legislature. They wish the General Assembly, in its review of proposals affecting the administration of elections, lobbying, and ethics law, if they do so, to give at least 24 hours notice prior to the public introduction of any measure affecting areas administered by the State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement. I think that's very important. Yesterday, this bill was put on. We had 13 seconds between the reading of the bill and the vote. We also need notice. This is a significant bill. This deprives many people of their opportunity to early vote on the last Saturday, especially African Americans. We need local flexibility, not the strong arm of the state for political purposes to suppress the vote.
For what purpose, the gentleman?
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, Jennifer Harnett, Representative Lewis Rice.
May I ask the lady from Durham a question?
Does the lady from Durham yield to the gentleman from Harnett?
I do.
She yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. I seem to recall that in 2016, the polls in Durham were
certain polling sites, forgive me for not being able to, I was trying to find which ones, but I can't find it immediately, had to be kept open for hours after the rest of the poll was closed across the state because there were poll book issues. Do you recall that?
Are you speaking on, may I respond?
The lady may.
Are you speaking about election day?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Does the lady yield to an additional question?
Forgive me, Mr. Speaker.
She yields.
Would you concede that perhaps if more time were allowed to have the poll books prepared, perhaps that two-hour extension of time where 10,000 votes magically appeared may not have been required?
No, I don't think that had any relevance on what happened on Election Day compared to the early voting on the Saturday before.
May I ask her another question?
Does the lady yield to additional inquiry? She is.
Does the lady understand that the people that show up on election day have their name checked off of a poll book that's prepared based on the closing of early voting and the opening of the polls on election day?
I do.
All right. So
does the gentleman have additional question?
I do. The letter.
Does the lady yield to additional question?
I do.
She yields.
The letter that you referenced that was sent to the Speaker and the President pro tem, I don't know if members have seen it. I believe that was requested by the current board chair. Is that correct?
It was requested by J. Anthony Perry, the current chair of the State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement.
May I ask her another question?
Does the lady yield to an additional question?
I do.
She yields.
I believe it's actually Henry, but what experience prior to, besides being a trial lawyer, does Mr. Henry have in election administration?
I do not know.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Speaker.
Representative Richland, does the gentleman wish to send forth his amendment at this time?
Yes, I would, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Richardson moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 8 through 11 by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Rules Chairman, thank you for letting me proceed with this amendment. I would have introduced it earlier, gone to you earlier, but we just got this morning. What my amendment does, plain and simple, and let me preface this by this. Abraham Lincoln once said, elections belong to the people. It is their decision. What made me put forth this amendment was last week I was at a Quick Stop, and there was a lady in front of me, and I said to her, "You look exhausted." And she said, "Well, I am. I worked a shift, and I'm worn out." And I said, "Well, you need to go home and take a nap." And she said, "Well, I can't because I'm going to my second job." And I said, "What's your second job?" She said, "I'm a school teacher." The lady behind me said, "I've got to go to my second job, too." And then the clerk said, "Well, after I finish my shift, I've got to go to another job." There were three ladies at this job, right in the stop, all working two jobs. My point being this, if elections belong to the people, which they truly do, we have to make it convenient for them to vote. We've got a full employment economy. We got people working their hearts out to make ends meet. We are asking them to participate in this democracy, which they should. It is our sacred responsibility to keep these ballot boxes open as much as possible. With current technology, there is no reason why we cannot have Saturday voting before the election. Think about it. These things don't really heat up until right before the election. If we're going to have early voting, we should have it on the Saturday before the election. It is one of the biggest days where people participate. Forget about race. This is about citizens' access to the box. And we, as elected officials, know full well, as constitutional officers, how vitally important that is as an American, that each American participate in that process. I'm completely open to setting hours on that day. I'm completely open to any kind of flexibility, but by golly, let's keep the box open on the Saturday before the election day. It is one of the biggest participatory days in the voting process. Why on earth do we eliminate that is beyond me. Please vote for this amendment.
For For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
Debate the amendment.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to begin by thanking Representative Richardson, who did share the amendment with me as the bill sponsor, did talk with me about that in that capacity. I sincerely appreciate that courtesy. I'm going to oppose the amendment, and I will tell you why. First of all, it is vitally important. I agree with the premise of the gentleman's remarks. It is vitally important that we do everything we can to make it easier for people to have the ability to have access to the ballot. To that end, I understand, and sometimes I question myself if I'm doing enough work to motivate the people who are working two and three jobs to find time to go out and vote. And I think that is a challenge that we all face. That being said, I would remind the body that we have over 30 days of no excuse mail-in voting. All you've got to do is request a ballot, fill it out, put it in an envelope, have it witnessed or have it notarized for free, and send it back. So you've got at least 30 days there to do that. I also would say that the ladies that the gentleman referenced that are working the two jobs would find it easier to have a reliable point to say, I know the county's early voting one stop is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or whatever the weekend hours are. It's more consistent. It's like when people need to get something, and I in no way compare the sacred right, and as I was sharing with the gentleman from Guilford, the sacred right to vote, I'm not in any way trying to compare that with a normal function like going to shop, but if the store you were going to shop at had hours that changed all the time, it was not open when you wanted to go, and you didn't know when they were going to be open, you had to take the extra step to find out when is this particular polling site open, when is it not, or this store open, or when is it not, you'd be less likely to use it. I really believe that having the hour set like this bill does and having the early voting last until the Friday before the Tuesday makes more sense. I would say that again, if the idea is that Saturdays are important, and I'm not disputing that at all, this bill still provides the same number of Saturdays that we had in 2016. With that being said, I would ask you to respectfully defeat this amendment.
Two whites. Are these to debate the amendment or on the bill? On the amendment? Gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, is recognized to debate the amendment.
I stand in opposition to this amendment because it is another voter suppression attempt by the other side of the aisle. Those poor people, those poor folks that have to work the two jobs under the bill, the county would have the option to open up on Saturdays and open up all the sites if that's what they chose to do. But under this, the county doesn't have that option. It mandates only this one site, and then people that are working the two jobs that he just talked about now have to drive halfway across the county to get to the voter polling place. We can twist and turn what's going on here any way that we want to turn it. We can talk voter suppression. We can bring up all kinds of silly stuff, and some of it which has been brought up this morning. And for the record, I resent things being brought up, any indications of suppression from this side of the aisle, from the people that put these bills together, because I was part of that elections committee, and I'm part of what goes on in here. And there is absolutely nothing going on to try to suppress anyone's votes. But I can understand how some of you would be concerned about it, you know, considering your party's 100 years history of actually suppressing the vote. So I'm going to ask you to vote this thing down so that the counties can make the decision as to whether or not they want to have their voting sites open, and if they do open them, that they would open all of them, so people don't have to spend their gas money that they earned on their two jobs and drive halfway across the county to get to the county seat.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Jones, rise?
Ask if Representative Lewis would yield for a question.
Does the gentleman from Harnett yield to the gentleman from Rockingham?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. We've heard the debate having to do with voter access, and I'm looking at what this bill does and what the amendment maker spoke about with voter access. And on line 26-27 on page 2, it talks about on each weekday, the period being open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I just wonder if you could expand a little bit what that means to voter access.
Well, thank you for the question, Representative Jones. My belief, again, like I was trying to say in my debate of this amendment, if a person understands and knows that a particular service or access point to service, in this case the opportunity to vote early, is in the same place and open the same hours every day, I think they'll be more likely to be able to make their find time in their schedule to take advantage of the service, as opposed to having to go the extra step of having to look and say, well, which early voting sites are open today. I mean, I'll just speak from personal experience. Early voting is important. It's an important part of my campaign. And I have voters call, say, man, I went to vote at the site X today and found out that it was closed. And people get frustrated at that.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, may I be recognized to debate the amendment?
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Lewis, for that answer, because I was one of those people in the last election, as a matter of fact, that got to the polls recognizing that on a particular day of early voting, they had closed 10 minutes beforehand, because those hours often seem to change around from election cycle to election cycle. And I get questions from many voters every time, particularly about that last Saturday and what time the polls are going to be closing. So I would just say, as one that drove several miles with my wife to go and vote on a particular late afternoon, evening, to go and vote last time, only to find out that the votes were closed and had to go back and drive further a couple of days later to be able to vote, I think this is a good bill. I think it does not need to be amended, and I would ask for you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion for the debate on the amendment. The gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, recognized to debate the amendment a second time.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, members, I want to clear something up. I'm not impinging any motive on anybody in this amendment. That is just not the case, and if Representative Speciale, if you feel that way, I sincerely apologize, because that is not what the intent of this is. The intent of this is to give our citizens the ample opportunity to exercise their constitutional right to vote. That is all. There is no restrictions on the hour in here, because I tried to make it comply with the rest of the bill. And if it doesn't, well, let's take a friendly amendment and make it comply with the rest of the bill. But that is one of the, this year after year, has proven to be one of the most fruitful, productive days of voter turnout that we have. Why eliminate one of the most productive days? That is all the intent of this amendment is. I am not trying to impinge any motive on anyone. I just want our citizens to have as much access to the ballot box as possible. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
To ask the amendment sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Cumberland yield to the lady from Durham?
Yes.
He yields.
Thank you. Representative Richardson, are you aware of your local county election site? Do they post hours of voting, early voting?
Yeah, my mind is not as bright as it used to be, but I recall they're usually in the paper, they're announced on the radio, they're on the internet of the Board of Elections. I think they try to make a valiant effort of letting people know when the polls are open, yes.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the amendment sent forward by Representative Richardson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Dobson, Representative Hall, do the members intend to vote aye on the amendment? Is Representative Cunningham on the floor? Okay. The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 40 having voted in the affirmative, 60 in the negative. The amendment fails. We're now back on the bill. For what purpose does the lady from Franklin, Representative Richardson, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the
bill. Lady has forward to debate the bill.
Yes, I rise to speak in opposition of this bill, not so much for any reason other than in Franklin County, we have simply just began to open three sites, and it was done because we have a very rural and very wide county, and we've had many citizens that say that on early voting that they have to drive too far to get to. At one time, we only had one early voting site, and then we opened two, and then we eventually opened three. But my Board of Election Director has informed me that if we go to this uniform early voting, that one of those sites will probably have to be cut out because of the budget form
and the personnel that it takes
that
to run
those sites for that long a time every day. So I would like for us to consider the stress that it puts on small counties with a small budget to be able to get access to the poll for early voting. This bill will hinder the ability of Franklin County to maintain those three polling sites for 17 days and also to staff those three polling sites for 17 days if they have to offer it from 7 to 7. Also, we find that there is a lull during the voting time that no one is going in the polls necessarily at the slow, probably between 10 and 12 and 4 and 6. So we're also having people we're having to pay people that may not necessarily need to be at a site for a given time. So I would urge you to consider the challenges of budget and the challenge of personnel and the challenge of a rural district trying for its citizens trying to get to less polling sites than we would normally have if this bill passes. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise?
Ask Representative Lewis a couple of questions.
Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Representative Lewis. I heard comments earlier that we're waiting to the last minute to get this done. But are we not here because of a judge ruling, and this is the short session when we are addressing that judge's ruling?
Well, thank you for the question, Representative Torbett, to maybe frame the answer a little bit better. The bill that we passed, I believe, in 2013 was enjoined. I don't recall the exact date that occurred. As the exchange I had with the gentleman from Guilford, I don't feel it was ever finally adjudicated, but it is what it is. So we're trying to conform to what we believe the court has instructed us to do, and in fact go beyond that by making 17 full days as opposed to what it really was, 16 and a half days. In terms of the last minute, this is an important issue. I understand the frustration. Frankly, I feel some of the frustration when things seem to appear, if you will. This is a matter that I've been trying to figure out how to address for some time. We all know that we had the budget debates and that we've had long nights. The last-minute nature, if you will, and I appreciate the opportunity to address that, frankly, is more a result of everyone working as hard as they can, including the staff that we depend on to prepare this stuff. So, yes, I wish I'd put this out last week and we could have had more input. I'll concede that would have been better for this process, but we are where we are.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Follow up.
It's my understanding, and I think you believe, that the people are entitled to due process, full and complete due process. And as I understand the law, not being an attorney, the complete due process ends at the U.S. Supreme Court. Do you believe that to be a fair statement?
I do. And in this case, I am confident the law that we passed in 2013 would have been upheld had it had the opportunity to have been heard at the court. I think all of these issues that we continue to have to discuss and debate, frankly, would have been resolved. I think the people were denied the opportunity to have their day in court, and I'm still very disappointed about that.
Final follow-up.
Follow-up. Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
So one of the reasons we're having this conversation today may very well have been because of the governor's legal determination and the attorney general's legal determination not to grant the people of North Carolina their full right to due process by allowing this to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, this issue would be resolved had the Supreme Court had the opportunity to weigh in on it. The governor and the AG elected not to continue to defend the state.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Michaud, arise?
To ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, first question I have is, what was wrong with the current law that we are operating under in terms of early?
Representative Michaud, I apologize. I just didn't hear what you said.
I didn't either.
May I repeat my question?
Yes, sir.
My question was, what was wrong with the law for early voting as it now exists?
Thank you for the question. The law for early voting as it now exists on our statute book has been enjoined by a federal judge.
Follow up.
I don't think there was anything wrong with it, to be clear. But you asked what was wrong with it. It's been enjoined by a federal judge.
Follow up?
Yes, sir, of course.
Did we not operate under the current law for our last election, which included early voting?
Representative Michaud, it's my understanding that we operated, the current law was enjoined, so we operated under law that existed prior to the current law. So, no, I don't think we operated under the current law.
Follow up. Do you yield?
Yes, sir.
But the law you operated under, in spite of what the court did, was the current law, whether it went back to one before or the one that was current at the time. Is that correct?
Representative, you and I have had some great conversations through the year. I always remind you that I'm not an attorney. I think all I know is I will concede, if you're trying to get me to concede, that we did have early voting last year.
Follow up?
Yes, I do have a follow up.
Do you yield? Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir, of course.
Can you tell us what the court instructed us to do when that decision was handed down?
To the best of my understanding, and again, I might need to consult with staff, Mr. Speaker, to be clear.
All means.
I believe when the new law was enjoined, the old law or the parameters of the old law is what was used. I hope I'm answering your question. I am trying.
Another question.
Follow up.
I'll yield, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
So you understand that when it was enjoined, that the old law was in effect. And my question to you was, what was wrong with the old law?
Thank you for the question, Representative Show. The old law, the parameters that we're currently operating, I think leave too much ambiguity. There's confusion. You know, I heard the question that I believe the lady from Durham, I believe, asked the gentleman from Cumberland earlier when we discussed another issue, if the Board of Election of his county advertised what the early voting sites and times were, and I'm sure they do. In fact, I know they do in my county. It would certainly be easier for them if they could say these sites are open these hours, and the people could become used to, okay, I know that we can go to spot X from this time to this time and vote, and it occurs every day. It's a consistent thing. They can find time to do it. I actually think, you know, I've heard some folks say, I believe it was the lady from Representative Richardson, I apologize, Franklin, who talked about certain times of the day that seem to be slower than other times. I know folks that kind of plan for those times, and they try to get there when there's not a line, if you will. So I think this bill, as it's written, improves upon the current situation, which has different polling sites open at different hours that the people don't know. They have to look it up. They have to research it. This just makes more sense. It's a more stable system of casting early votes.
Another question.
Follow up?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
President Lewis, don't you think the people in their own communities know how their communities react and what their times and what, in other words, how people live in those communities and what the normal standards in those particular communities are, rather than having a subset standard of set on that community? Don't you think they know what is best for the operation of any rules or regulations in those communities as it affects their people?
I think that they, the local boards, are still completely empowered under this bill and under what you and I will call the old law to decide where these polling places need to be. It makes more sense to me that once they decide where these polling places need to be, that they're open a consistent amount of time.
Another question.
Follow up.
Yes, sir.
Well, don't you think that they know if they know the times and whatnot that are more convenient for the people who live in their communities than 170 of us up here now?
Well, with respect, Representative Michelle, there is no way that saying X amount of hours on every other day can possibly be more convenient than a set amount of hours every day. It's just not possible. We're going around in circles here.
Speak on the bill.
Representative Michelle is recognized to speak on the conference. Speak on the bill, excuse me.
I had promised to let other folks argue this matter and stay out of it, but folks, let me tell you something. Our local folks know what to do in their communities. Why are we here going to be setting a standard that may somehow or other come out and not, you know, coincide with what the people in the community are used to? In my community, we know where the early voting sites are. We know when they're going to be open. We know how long they're going to be open. And what's wrong with letting those folks still make those decisions without having some sets, something that we set that we think is in best interest of them? I think our local election boards know more how to handle those things than we do. I mean, gee, give us a break, folks. We're going to take over everything. We're not going to allow our communities to have any leeway at all in anything that happens, particularly when it comes to the matter of elections. They know, and everybody else knows, how to notify people when these things are happening. This is a bad bill, and I don't care what anybody says. I guess I'm like the old theologian, the great theologian Martin Luther said when he asked him about his 95 theses that were tacked on the door of the church. I did it, yes, and I neither can nor really can anything that I say, because it is not right to act against conscience. Not so. Here again, we are moving into suppression. You couldn't get it because what was done in 2013 overrode everything that we had done before to open up voting. Now we're closing it up again. We don't need this. Let the communities make a decision on this.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the representative from Ash, Representative Jordan, arise?
I have an inquiry for the bill sponsor.
Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. Would you be surprised if you heard from a different district such as mine, where there's been tremendous conflict in the local community about the voting sites, where a little bit of state guidance would be appreciated? Would you be surprised to hear that occurs around the state?
No, sir, I wouldn't be surprised
Thank
to hear that at all.
Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Ford, arise?
To debate the bill.
You're recognized to debate the bill.
I think this is one of the best bills I've seen since I've been here. It really and truly is. This past election, people were so confused. I had Republicans, Democrats, black, white, everybody calling me, texting me, emailing me about how confused they were. We had an early voting site that opened that first Thursday at 9 a.m., one location. The next day, there were two locations open. One of them opened at 8, the other one at 9. Then the following Monday, another one opened. It didn't open till 9. The other two opened at 8. And then on Saturday, only one was open, and they closed at 1. And everybody was in mass confusion about who was open when, what, where, when, and why. This is one of the best bills I've ever seen because it puts uniformity into early voting, and I think it will increase turnout. I know it'll help the folks at home. And as a radio announcer at home trying to announce this, to be honest, it got quite confusing with us, much less our audience, because we'd announce it, and then we'd start getting calls and Facebook messages, what, where, when? I think this makes it so much simpler and so much easier for everybody to get out and early vote. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Speaker Moore, arise?
To debate the bill, Mr. Chairman.
To recognize to debate the bill.
Members, I think it's always helpful when we're debating a bill to sometimes look at the staff report that's prepared by the nonpartisan staff here. And I looked at that, and I would submit that the title is very consistent with the content of the bill. What does it say? The Uniform and Expanded Early Voting Act. I hear comments about suppression and limiting, but let's look at the facts. This bill expands the number of days by a half day from 16 and a half days to 17 days of early voting. It expands the locations. It says that the locations of all those sites are open. That way counties don't just pick and choose. It expands the number of locations. It also expands the hours. Right now, counties can have compressed hours. I've heard reports of 9 to 5 and limited hours. This says 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., a full 12 hours. We have expanded the days of early voting. We have expanded the hours of early voting. We have expanded the locations of early voting. If you support early voting, then you have to support this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insco, arise?
To debate the bill.
You're recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, I don't have so much trouble with the uniform hours. I'm more concerned about that last Saturday of voting. And I'm wondering if we aren't evaluating the effectiveness of this bill based on our own personal experience. So there are lots of people in this state who have two jobs. There are lots of people in this state who drive a long way to their job. I know in Orange County, we have a lot of people who can't afford to live in Orange County that come in to work at the university or the hospital or teach in our schools. They may be on the road an hour and a half to get to their job and back. Their polling place is back in their community where they live. They often spend more than 12 hours a day away from that place during the week. That last Saturday may be really important. I remember hearing someone say if even one fraudulent vote was cast, that was really a tragedy, and they were willing to do anything that they could to prevent that one fraudulent vote from being cast. If one eligible voter cannot vote, it is a tragedy, and we can fix it. I'm going to vote no on this bill and hope that you will restore that last day of Saturday voting.
For what purpose, gentleman from Lee, Representative Reeves, rise.
To ask a question to the bill sponsor.
Does the gentleman from Harnett yield to the gentleman from Lee?
Yes, sir.
Yields.
After this time of spirited debate, I think I've heard a couple of things that may be helpful for both sides for the bill, and so I was just wondering, to me, the easiest fix for the complaint about Saturday voting would be to move your start date down from Wednesday to Thursday. So would you be amenable to an amendment just moving the start date from Wednesday to Thursday, keeping the 17 days, and therefore mandating that last Saturday be the 17th day?
Well, thank you for the question, Representative. And the short answer is no. The longer answer is, again, we keep hearing the last Saturday. The last Saturday is equivalent to saying the second Saturday, and the second Saturday still remains.
Yeah, well, in light of that, then...
Does the gentleman wish to ask a different another question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
And does the gentleman from Harnett yield?
Yes, sir. Then would you be interested, because all the stories that we've heard have been local stories about how either this bill helps or hurts people at their localities, just making a mandate that the local election boards come up with a plan that is a concise plan for their particular area and have that posted early enough so that people know this is what's going to be our site plans for the next 30 days or whatever?
Well, thank you for the question. No change in the current law. The locals do come up with the plan. If they're not able to agree to it, it gets kicked to the state board, but the locals are still tasked with coming up with the plan. This just gives them a little more parameters to use when they calculate the plan.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for that. If I may debate the bill.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill. And Representative Reeves, before the gentleman starts, the chair intends to do this. To recognize next Representative Jackson, I believe, for a debate on the bill, and then to give Representative Lewis the last word on the bill. So that's the order the chair intends to take to the debate. The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would just say this, is that, in fact, Mr. Speaker, you do the same as I. We do criminal defense work. We're some of those bad trial lawyers that get talked about at least once a day up here while we're debating bills, no matter what they have to do with. So for us bad trial lawyers, one of the things that we sometimes get into a situation with, and I think even Representative McNeil, remember this being in law enforcement, sometimes we run around with folk that sometimes have a tendency to keep getting accused of the same thing. Doesn't mean they're guilty. Just means they're accused. So, you know, I've had a client before who every time a car got missing, he sometimes ended up in the parking lot. And, you know, there are days where he just says, well, you know, I don't understand why the police are bothering me. I mean, just because I was in that parking lot and that car got missing, I don't understand why I've got to be the guy. I mean, why does it mean I took the car? It's like, well, the last six times this happened, you happen to be the guy to take the car. So here's my point. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy. That doesn't mean that he has bad intentions each time. But that means that a certain perception has come. So for good or bad, whether we like it or not, as a result of the 2013 case that's been referred to so many times, there is a perception about the body. And so, therefore, when this particular body goes into anything about early voting or voting issues, there is a perception that's already out there. That doesn't mean that you've got bad intentions. I'm not trying to ascribe bad intentions, but you've got to recognize it's out there. So, again, this gets back to the word that has been the theme of this short session is process. And when I say about process, I know this has had committee hearings and things of that sort, but here's what would have helped this process. One state board or local election officials saying, hey, we need to have you help us fix this problem, and then coming to testify in front of committee. You know, those types of things. But again, this seems to have popped up out of nowhere. And that is what has got people edgy. That is what has got people concerned. We continue to hear, and with all due respect, I mean, the rules chair was involved in this much longer than I've been and has done much more with it, but I would just remind the body that the Supreme Court didn't hear this case because the Supreme Court decided not to hear this case. There was confusion, but ultimately, all they had to do was vote to hear the case. That's it. And the United States Supreme Court, if they vote to take your case, they hear your case. There's nothing you can do to stop that. They decided not to take the case for whatever reasons. So with all that being said, understand the concerns that people have about this bill. I ask you to vote against the bill not because of any particular motives that I'm ascribing to anyone who's already supporting the bill, not because of any beliefs about what is or isn't trying to be done, but because of a belief that what I do sincerely believe about everybody here is that at some point all of us would like to be looked at a little bit differently than we've been looked at about certain issues, that we would like for people to look at us and trust us on process, trust us that we're trying to do something to fix problems, not create problems, not create solutions that are in search of a question or problem, but that we are actually trying to address something that has been brought to us to address. I think one of the things that we could do right now, and I would ask the bill sponsor, but I suspect that based on the other answers, I kind of know what the direction would be. delay this. Just don't do it right now. I think people would feel more comfortable. They say, okay, well, they're not trying to do anything with this election, so maybe it's not as bad as far as the motives or anything of that sort. But there are things we can do to fix this. This isn't an emergency. If we have an election under the exact rules we've got right now, just like Representative Michaud said, we'd be fine. There'd be no problems. People would have access. People would be able to vote, and people will feel comfortable with the process. But I really, truly believe going into November, one of the best things that we could do as a body would be to vote no on this bill to show people that we hear your concerns and your complaints. And we understand that maybe we could have done this better. We believe, some of us may believe, this is a good thing to do, but that because of the fact that we understand what every single person who has commented on this bill, every single person you've seen in any news outlet that has commented outside of this room has said they are not comfortable with what we're doing. They were saying, because we've heard you, we're going to delay this. We're going to hear some more about it. We're going to have some more conversation and come up with a more perfect situation, not because we're going to come up with a perfect bill, because we don't do that, but because we're going to come up with a bill that people will be very comfortable with the process. I will remind you again, as I have a couple of times in this session, I remember talking to Republicans that were in the minority when this General Assembly was composed differently, and every single time that's what I heard, is that they appreciated the fact, not that they got their way, but they got to be heard. Thank you, and please vote no.
Members of the chair had announced previously that Representative Jackson was going to be recognized to debate, then Lewis, but the chair is in receipt of an amendment from Representative Morey, and the chair is going to recognize the lady to send forth the amendment. The chair would ask if the lady could contain her remarks very brief so that we can move on with it, but the lady will be recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Morey moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 43, by rewriting the line to read.
The lady is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate your allowing this amendment. Exactly with Representative Reeves, I'm simply asking that we delay the effective date on this bill on Section 1, that it will become effective January 1st, 2020, especially in light of the State Board of Elections Ethics Enforcement, asking them to have more time to carefully look at this, implement it January 1st, 2020, and apply to all elections after that date. Thank you for your consideration.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the amendment sent forward by Representative Morey.
May I have just a moment, Mr. Speaker?
Absolutely.
And to be clear, the lady did present the amendment, and in my chaos up here, I just didn't see it.
We'll temporarily displace the amendment. The gentleman from Iredale asked if he could make some brief comments, so I think it's less than a minute. The gentleman from Iredale, Representative Fraley, is recognized to debate the bill briefly.
You know, ever since I've been in the legislature, thank you, Mr. Speaker, I've been constantly amazed about all this debate of early voting. Oh, Lord, I've got to have more time. You know, I happened to grow up here, but then lived in New York for 35 years. There was no early voting. You voted only on election day. You knew the polls opened at 6 o'clock in the morning. They closed at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and you went and voted. End of discussion. Thank you.
What? There go the lights again. The gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, is recognized to – actually, Representative Lewis, are you ready to respond to the amendment?
Yes, sir.
The gentleman's back on the amendment. Amendment's back before us. The gentleman from Harnett is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I actually think it's a good idea that we do this in 2020. I think it's a good idea we do it in 2018. So with that, try to do a little bit of horse trading with my friend from Durham. In exchange for a vote for the bill. Don't think we quite got there. So with that, I want to ask you to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Morey. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Speciale, did the gentleman intend to vote aye on the amendment? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 40 having voted in the affirmative, 61 the negative, the amendment fails. Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just first say that it's been a long week, and I am extremely, extremely tired. And so if I misstate something, I apologize in advance, and I hope you will jump up and call me on it. I'm almost positive I gave an incorrect television interview yesterday on a bill because I misread it. I misread it. And, you know, this is the silly season, and we're doing things at the last minute. And I think we all know why we're doing these types of bills at the last minute. But if I misstate something, I hope you will correct me. But this bill does not expand early voting. Okay, let's be clear of that. It does not expand early voting. It gives counties the ability to do so at a much higher cost than they currently incur. And in that way, it's a big unfunded mandate on our counties. But there is nothing in this bill that expands early voting. There's nothing in this bill that expands the hours of early voting. In fact, I believe we have been operating under a minimum threshold of early voting hours as a result of litigation or the current law or the past law. We're no longer under this going to have it. There is nothing in this bill that requires early voting. So, Representative Fraley, you might like that. But this says if you're going to do it, you cannot do it before this date. And if you're going to do it, you have to do it at uniform hours. But nothing says we're doing it. So it is, in my opinion, it is an incorrect characterization to say this bill expands early voting. Because that's just not true. Fact, it was a unanimous panel of the Court of Appeals, three judges who entered the decision we've talked about. Not one judge, three judges, one Republican. Unanimous decision. All three judges agreed. Fact, it is the law of the land, that decision covering North Carolina. I understand that you may disagree with that, but it is the law of the land. There are many Supreme Court decisions that I disagree with. However, they are a law, and we all have to obey them. Fact, the court found that a previous General Assembly did, in fact, target African Americans with surgical precision. You don't like that. You don't appreciate it. If you actually read the opinion, the court said it was not racial animosity. It was not your intent to discriminate. That's, if you'll read the opinion, what it says is it was partisan, but because so many African Americans vote in block for Democrats, that it equaled racial discrimination. So the court didn't impugn your integrity or your motives, and neither do I. Fact, the court did say that the new provisions targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision and imposed cures for problems that did not exist. Quote, thus the asserted justifications cannot and do not conceal the state's true motivation. The court did actually address the trial court's 400 findings of facts or whatever and said that the trial court ignored critical facts bearing on legislative intent, including the inextricable link between race and politics in North Carolina. Fact, the court found that intentionally targeting a particular race's access to the franchise because its members vote for a particular party in a predictable manner constitutes discriminatory purpose. Fact, the court concluded that their conclusion does not mean, and we do not suggest, that any member of the General Assembly harbored racial hatred or animosity toward any minority group. That's what the court found. Nobody questioned your motivations or called anybody a racist or accused anybody of racial animosity. They didn't find that. That's not what they did, and I don't either. Fact, the court did say, but based on the totality of the circumstances, North Carolina's history of voting discrimination, the surge in African American voters, the legislature's knowledge that African American voters voting translated into support for one party, and the swift elimination of the tools African Americans had used to vote, and the impositions of new barriers at the first opportunity to do so, cumulatively and unmistakably reveal that the General Assembly used the law to entrench itself. And I do believe that. You heard some facts earlier this morning, and it is a fact that the last Saturday is particularly important and popular day for early voting, with 193,138 voters using that last day. And it also is a fact that African-American voters disproportionately used that last day, and that by doing that, you are disproportionately affecting, taking it away, African-American voters. But I also want to talk to you about the flexibility that you're taking away, because in 2014, the most recent midterm election, 55 counties took advantage of the flexibility that exists in the current statute. And I have an example for you, Hyde County. It's a small county with a small budget that operates a part-time early voting site on the Outer Banks. This bill would make Hyde County decide to either open its Outer Banks site from at least 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 5 days a week, like the Board of Election site, or to close it, which would require Outer Banks voters to travel by ferry to early vote on the mainland. Because we're not giving them the money to do this expansion. So they've got a choice to make. Some counties like mine will undoubtedly take the choice and expand it and just eat the third. I think it's about a 30% additional cost. But some counties will not be able to afford that. In Rockingham County, there's an early voting site at the Eden Library, but it was only open for 5 days during the 7-day early voting period. But it was done so people who lived in Eden didn't have to drive to the County Board of Election site in Reidsville to vote early. Under this bill, the option to vote in town would either go away or the county would have to pay to open the Eden Library site for 12 more days. And again, this is just an unfunded mandate on the county. Some have characterized this bill as a disincentive to weekend early voting access, as well as a disincentive to have multiple sites throughout large counties. I saw one person that I put a lot of trust in, Jerry Cohen, who described this not as an unintended consequence, but instead a feature of the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not an expansion of early voting. And this will not be used, when this decision we make today is ultimately approved and goes to court. The court is not going to look at it in a vacuum. They're going to look at what we did before. They're going to look at 2013, and they're just going to see this as another notch in the ladder of us trying to prevent African-American voters from voting. Not because of their race, but because they vote in large blocks for Democrats. And the court's going to come to the same ultimate conclusion. And we're going to spend all this time arguing, a lot of hard feelings created, for no good reason. There's no need to do this bill. To my knowledge, not one single Board of Elections asked for this bill. Not one single Board of Elections was asked to weigh in on this bill. The State Board of Elections was not given the opportunity to review this bill in advance and try to work out and share their concerns. Once the language was put out, they were notified the night before the committee heard it, just like all the rest of us were. There was no stakeholder involvement that we're often so proud of, trying to work bills out and things like that. This is just a bad policy, and we're doing it to decrease early voting. And it's my belief that unless counties have the funds, and a lot of rural counties don't, this will lead to less voting on weekends, maybe elimination of early voting on weekends, which will disproportionately affect African-American voters, and I'd ask you to vote against it.
For the final word on the debate for third reading, I represent the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, members, for your time this morning. I'd like to offer my final comments on this bill. First of all, it is a fact, and it is important to say, that the 2013 bill that's been referenced several times is, in fact, a separate issue. This bill in no way does anything with same-day registration. It does nothing with pre-registration, and it keeps, or actually increases, to 17 full days of early voting. It is also a fact that the opinion referenced by the gentleman from Wake said, quote, black voters, quote, disproportionately used the first 7 days of early voting. We've added a day to early voting. That is a fact. It's also important to understand that we've heard for years that election access is more important than bureaucratic convenience. Now we're hearing the opposite from some of our friends across the aisle. This bill is consistent. The 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. time frame allows everyone, it allows, and I've said this before, it allows working people access to the polls. It's been a long debate. I respectfully ask you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate. Question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 325 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Setzer, did the gentleman intend to vote no? Representative Minsko, does the lady wish to record on the vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 61 have voted in the affirmative, 40 in the negative. Senate Bill 325 passes its third reading and is ordered sent to the Senate.